I did a little bit on how fast Amazon got a blender for me, and someone just texted me. How ironic, Evan, during the commercial break across the country, there was a commercial by Amazon for a blender. Okay. They're reading my mind. Speech from the Throne yesterday sets out the vision of the Liberal government. Now, I would describe this as no surprise, and this is not a vision that you need 3D glasses. This was a pretty basic meat and potatoes vision, although the meat and the potatoes are both going up in price because the potatoes can't be sold in the United States and the price of meat is going up. So they got to deal with inflation. How are they going to deal with that and other issues? All that is political is inside the war room, and we begin now.
Let me be perfectly clear.
Putting out misinformation.
And we hear them.
Misleading politics.
What's really important here.
Spreading it online.
Unequivocally.
The War Room.
Without inflating the brilliance of Zane Velji, political campaign strategist and partner of Northweather, formerly worked with the Calgary mayor and the Alberta premier, he's just a wonderful person. And without inflating Tasha Carradine's incredible strategic mind, her ability to synthesize things. She's a principal at Navigator and a national political columnist with Post Media. She's just a wonderful person. And there's no need to inflate anything about Tom Mulcair because everyone knows how brilliant he is. He's a CTV political analyst and the former NDP leader. I mean, there's no inflation here. These people are already incredible. But for Justin Trudeau, the inflation is a problem. Do you guys like that? I could just compliment you without inflating your egos.
Yeah,
my head's in the clouds. I am going to be more confident than I ever have been on this show, Evan. This you pump the tires of your guests. I like this.
And the good thing is, it's a low hanging cloud. So because you're not Zane Velji, let's start with you since you're let's bring you down to earth. Biggest challenge to Justin Trudeau among the many things. I know there's childcare. I know there's climate. I know there's reconciliation. I know he does the normal list. But welcome to the world of inflation. How does he deal with that? I know in the speech from the throne, he said through child care and through a national housing strategy. What's your take on the biggest challenge and how he's going to deal with it?
Yeah, I think I split this in two columns, what he should do and what he will probably end up doing. I think what he should do is in the category of perhaps scale back a little bit of this reset agenda that he might be proposing, talk about fiscal restraint, talk about that a bit more, maybe think of a patchwork solution for the winter to acknowledge, like I said last week, to acknowledge the fact.
Oh, my God, his head's in the cloud. Now his voice is in the ether. Let me go to Tasha. We just lost it. Look at
my goodness.
Holy
this is what happened.
I don't know what happened.
I'm back.
You know
sorry,
what?
From the stratosphere, I have reemerged. Okay. So.
This better be good now because I literally am about to cut you off. Okay, but go ahead. Let's let him finish. Can you land this plane before you get cut off?
Now you're making me lose the confidence you gave me earlier, Evan. Okay, here's the thing, right? So what he should do, it's the programs that help with winter. It's the acknowledgement. It's the understanding that him and his party do operate in this lane, that they don't just have one gear, which is spend and moving to the left. What he'll end up doing is probably nothing significant. And the reason is, my reasoning has changed from last week, is I don't think he thinks of this as a political problem at all. I think it's one of those things where he sees it as a problem, just not his political problem. And perhaps a bit of the polling and the fact that this is global in many ways lets him wear it off. You know, there's a phrase in politics, you know, that we often use, which is, if you like a man, he can come drop his plate of food on you and you wouldn't care. If you don't like him, you'll criticize him with how he holds his fork. And I feel like on inflation, you know, it's a problem, but I don't think many people are going to have Justin Trudeau wear it as much as the conservatives are trying to.
That is one of the worst sayings in the world, just for the record. Tasha, I don't even understand. What?
Yeah.
How do you not understand it?
If you like a man, it just seems like a long one. Anyway, I mean, if you're paid by the word, that's a good one. Tasha, you're a columnist. You could use that. You're paid by the word.
I was going to say the fork could be useful to just pop everyone's bubble here and bring us all down to earth since you inflated us so much. You know, what struck me the most about the throne speech and the challenge, I think, that Trudeau set himself is that the word that emerged the most to me was safe and secure and protect. Those words reappeared constantly in the throne speech. And it's this kind of theme of, you know, government is here to take care of you. All of us have been through a really hard year. Mary Simon said that. And then, you know, enumerated all the other issues right now with BC and Atlantic Canada. Both our coasts are literally underwater, you know, and it's there's the sense of we're under siege. And I think that's where the government is coming from and saying, you know what, we're gonna help us come out of this horrible time. But the things they're suggesting are not going to touch, I think, enough people to dampen the inflation issue. I mean, childcare, yes, will help families, but, you know, seniors deal with inflation. Single people deal with inflation. If you don't own a house, you're not going to rent to own. That's not going to help you either. You know, the strategies they've outlined there. So, you know, will they touch enough cohorts to really stave off the problem which people are going to be facing, which is the cost of living is going up? And I think Trudeau will wear that. I don't think it's completely fair. I think that the government, you know, is also there are supply chain issues and other things that, that are affecting the inflation rate. But I think to Zane's point, I think, you know, his blinder on this in the sense we're just going to push ahead with our $7 billion. Right. We're trying to get that through. No, you can't do that because it's going to bite you in the next few months.
Going to bite you is a saying. As we like to say, too. Tom, there's a nice saying in politics that said, in the beginning, there was... Tom, go ahead.
And then there was light.
And then there was light. And then just a second, I got four more hours with this. This is a very good saying.
And then people look at the fork, right? This is, makes total
then there's
sense.
A plate, and then there's a man. And the man's eating a...
What do you not understand?
I got lost in the meal. Someone's dumping a plate. Is it chili? Anyway. Let's go to Mulcair because he's trained in pithy quotes.
Tom is a lawyer.
Pith and substance.
I'm with you on this one. I didn't understand Zane's point either.
I did
agree with Zane when he said one thing, which was Mr. Trudeau believes that this isn't in his wheelhouse. This isn't his responsibility, and that's the key to understanding, I believe, the throne speech yesterday, you know, the melatonin throne speech. Mr. Trudeau, this is not the stuff that he cares about. The idea of going into the House and jousting with Erin O'Toole, that's beneath him. Caring about the legislative agenda, piffle, that's for other people. Organize a nice international tour, please, as soon as you can after the holidays so I can start doing the real stuff that I care about. So Natasha's right. I mean, you know, the inflation stuff, he can't say that it's the international situation. We all remember what he said during the campaign when he dismissively said, I don't care about monetary policy. I'm here to help middle-class families. Well, this just in, those middle-class families who had like a 2.5% mortgage might be renewing at 5 or 6%. And that's where monetary policy comes in. So you actually have to care about the details of this.
But now the truth is, he should care about it. I agree with you. I think there's a callous statement. And I think politically he's going to own inflation. But he is not wrong. Like when Pierre Poilievre says, look at Switzerland, he's cherry picking the OECD and the G20. We are. Mm-hmm. This is a genuinely global problem that doesn't alleviate Trudeau's responsibility to do something. And if
about
I could understand
problem.
Anything Even, Zane said, he's got to try to do something.
It's not the fact that it exists also in other places that means that our prime minister is off the hook for doing something about it. Look, let me give you an example. They're about to raise the taxes, the corporate taxes. They're going to be targeting, in particular, we are told, and I believe it's going to happen, the insurance industry and the banks. You know, a low-hanging fruit, fair enough. Guess what? You increase the taxes of an insurance company by 3%, they're going to turn around and boost premiums by 6%. That's the way this thing called the free market works. They're going to say, we're keeping our profits. We're going to keep our shareholders happy. By the way, you've increased my taxes. Fine. I'm passing it on to consumers. Wait till you see what people do when they get their bill for their new insurance premiums.
Zane, I got 30 seconds. Do you want to clarify something? I mean,
you're having dinner with your family.
Or do you want to contribute with another one of your long-winded Zen koans?
Yeah, you know, Evan's right beside you eating chili with the pork. It's a grand old time.
Okay. You know, at the end of the day, it's not a political problem for him because he's, you know, if he does not need to solve it because people are not blaming him for it. That's the lane he's in right now.
All right.
It hasn't happened yet.
That's not going to say that.
Okay. Well, hang on. I got to come back. Tom and Tasha and Yogi Berra, we're going to come back and we'll find out. Here's my only other fork. As Yogi Berra said, when you come to a fork in the road,
exactly. Take it.
Exactly. We'll be back with the War Room. Zane Velji, Tasha Carradine, and Tom Mulcair are back inside the War Room where we're trying to deconstruct two things. Number one, what matters in politics, and number two, how to understand Zane's most incredible sayings that are proving to be really popular online at 710.10. People are looking for more words of wisdom, Zane's words of wisdom.
They work great in PowerPoint decks when people are paying you $2.50 an hour. Let me tell you something. They work really well.
Like when you said, as we like to say in politics, and then everyone's just like, what?
We like to say here at Alberta Politics. Entirely different beast, my friends.
I mean, Tom has more political centric world you live in. Tom, you've been in politics more than anybody.
Yes.
Had you ever heard this saying by Zane, this clarifying prophetic statement about what is it, Zane? Just repeat it for our listeners.
Here's the thing. If you like someone, you won't care if they come and drop their plate of food on your lap. If you hate someone, you'll criticize them for how they hold their fork.
It's very much about emotional
resonance and tribes, you know, highfalutin stuff, psychological salience towards, the political affiliation you have, all these things. You know, like, I wish I could show you the deck. I wish I had the PowerPoint deck in front of me.
Tom, I know just served you up some very, very cold chili with a hot sauce called salience on top. What did you make of it?
Well, I think that the real question here is, did you have to have your vaccine passport before getting that in your lap in the restaurant? Do you get in with the passport or not?
Okay, and that's good, the key good segue. Question. Good segue.
Not included in the exemption program. That is right.
Okay,
Tom.
So Tom.
It is too. You haven't been talking to any conservatives.
Is this over? Is that issue over? Because I asked Aaron O'Toole that.
No, it's not over.
Okay, so.
I know you did well. And no, it's not over. No. Not by a long shot, because there's Aaron O'Toole is going to have to learn that if he's caught between a rock, which is his caucus, and a hard place, which is what everybody in Canada thinks to be the right thing, he's got to start avoiding what he's been using up to till now as a technique, which is going around the issue with words that don't really mean anything. On the weekend, I knew there was something up. He wouldn't give any clear answers about, is everybody in your caucus vaccinated, yes or no? We're going to be following the rules, don't you know? And when we get there, we'll have all followed the rules, and those include the possibility of getting a medical exemption. Well, how many of you have medical exemptions? Mark Holland was totally right to call O'Toole out on this. And no, he still hasn't given an answer. And yes, the vast majority of Canadians think it's important to go and get vaccinated, and they want clear answers from a political leader. Full stop.
Tasha, what advice would you give Aaron O'Toole, who's got a real issue now? Like, he's got inflation. Parliament's back. Yep. He can finally, his leadership has been questioned. He's been in the headlines for all the wrong reasons. Now he's doing a series of interviews. And he even said to me, Evan, I'm giving you a straight answer. And the straight answer is, and then it was this kind of, it was like a Zane Velji quote. I couldn't understand it. So what would you advise him?
I would advise him the same thing I would have advised before, is drop it and get your MPs to be vaccinated or agree to hybrid sessions, because then the issue will go away.
Right.
And, you know, unvaccinated. Yeah. And also some MPs may choose not to be in the House because for, you know, convenience sake, whatever things in their riding, who knows.
Sure.
But the point is, you want to camouflage the issue, go there. But he's refusing either. So I don't know if he needs to listen to us.
Yeah, as they say, Zane, a needle in the haystack is easier to find than a needle in the arm of a conservative. That's an old saying.
Evan, you and I, we form a firm together. We up our billing to $300 an hour. Evan, I see potential. Get off the airwaves, my friend. Get off the airwaves. We got business to do.
Oh, my gosh. Zane, do they have to just draw? Like, is this because I'm also getting letters, to be candid, from audience and viewers and listeners who say, stop asking them. Like, this is boring already. Is it real or is it now just kind of over?
No, it's ethical. It's moral. It's a proxy of real leadership. Tasha's absolutely right. This is the same problem plaguing Jason Kenney. Pick a lane, man. You're going to have to sacrifice something. Pick a lane on principle. Pick a lane that you might feel like you can politically bridge and bring the coalition together, but pick a lane. This in-between mealy-mouth strategy has never worked for any leader, regardless of the issue. And this is a defining one because we're all having to live with it and all recognize perhaps the sacrifices and the conversations we personally had to have ourselves.
Okay, let's go top challenges for there's now, what, 18 days left for them to pass some serious legislation. Today, Chrystia Freeland is going to have the reduced COVID supports, and I get that. But just on the bigger picture, so Canadians, you know, we're looking at disasters and we're looking at inflation and there's lots of agendas going on. Tom, biggest challenge that you're looking for, either for the government or the opposition going ahead, and then we'll just go around the room here.
Well, let's look at Mark Holland's four pieces of legislation. How many of them are actually going to get adopted by Christmas? We'll have a feel for what the opposition is going to play as a game with regard to this new minority government when we see how many pieces of legislation actually make it through. Now, part of this is always going to be blamed on Mr. Trudeau because he said it was an emergency to have an election in the middle of a pandemic. He held an election and then he took 9 weeks to get the House back. So he's always going to have a bit of explaining to do, but we'll see again what the attitude of the opposition parties are. I saw the Bloc Québécois yesterday basically signaling, hey, a bunch of us just got reelected. We're not heading back to the polls anytime soon.
Yeah, we like it. Tash.
Yeah, I don't think that anyone's going to bring the government down, but are they going to be obstructionist nonetheless, do some grandstanding? Absolutely. I think Jagmeet Singh's going to do some of that, and I would be shocked if they passed all four bills with only 18 days to go before the break for Christmas. So I think they've set themselves too ambitious a goal there. They'll probably blame it on the opposition parties if it doesn't pan out, but still, they didn't have to do that. I think that was a challenge they didn't need.
I just think with what's going on the West Coast in British Columbia, with what's going on now about to hit the East Coast, people, I tell you, the tolerance, Zane, for politicians grandstanding on minor issues when people's livelihoods are getting lost. I think these folks better listen to the message of the last election. You know, it's not about you. I do not understand what the hell, how tone deaf Parliament Hill is, and they've only been here 48 hours.
Back to work. And here's the issue. If you take the throne speech yesterday, his, you know, 2,700 words. You take the fact that the mandate letters for ministers aren't out yet, that parliamentary secretaries haven't been appointed. You know, while they're trying to be ambitious headed to December, it's probably a result of procrastination. So the fact is we had an election over the summer, which yielded a very similar, if not identical result to exactly where we were. And we've now wasted 6 months of time at a critical juncture when we've got massive issues like climate reconciliation, housing, et cetera. And of course, inflation bubbling up as well that this government needs to deal with. So, you know, I think where the blame might come in is that you guys aren't moving fast enough and this late breaking procrastination won't be good enough for many folks.
No. And when Tom, when you got 19 days of 20 days of work and then you watch TV and there's pictures literally of the men and women of the military out there sandbagging to save communities, farmers there. Yeah. People are like, OK, that's work.
Important government. That's work. Yes. Work. That's why governments exist, to take care of people, to protect them. And yeah, right now, Parliament better start changing its tune. I think that is exactly what the Canadian population is expecting right now.
Tash, just quickly, does Jagmeet Singh, Tom said something wise, which is the Bloc Québécois was delighted to be the dance partner for the Liberals, which means that Jagmeet Singh can pretend suddenly that he's not the kind of political lapdog. But does that mean he suddenly becomes the fourth place no one cares party? Like he wants to be the balance of power. Otherwise, he just looks like a guy that didn't win a lot of seats.
Yeah, well, this is the challenge for him, too. I mean, every party has its challenge. And for the NDP, it is to actually show that their election results matter. Because you're right, if the Bloc decides to dance because it doesn't see any advantage in being obstructionist, then the NDP is far less powerful than it would be otherwise. So Jagmeet Singh, I think, has to find his place in this new parliament, making that balance between, you know, claiming he is holding a balance of power and actually what influence he actually has. Because if he overplays his hand, people, like you said, will say the emperor has no clothes. What's this?
I got 30 seconds, Zane. Does Jason Kenney at his big meeting, does he survive as the premier and the leader of that party?
No, I don't think he does. He may have a bit of an upswing, but I think for many, he's untenable. I was in a room yesterday. He talked about the economy coming back, and it sure is, but no one wants to give him credit for it. I think he's done.
You know what they say, you never know. I'm just kidding. Zane Valji. He's a fork. He could be a spoon.
That metaphor would have applied perfectly to that situation.
Bringing out the political spoons. Tom, Tash, and Zane, you guys are the best. Thanks. You've got a smile.